You're listening to Pushing the Odds on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by O'Reilly Auto Parts and Rocket Mortgage.
Live from Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
And now Loyola, going to be the first team to the Sweet 16.
Incredible. And boy, they are rejoicing in the upper deck, too, and rightfully so. Well prepared, well versed. And I know this is crushing for the Illinois followers, but what a great job, Loyola.
Incredible.
Yep.
Another fairy tale ride is underway for Loyola Chicago and head coach Porter Moser. On their way to the Sweet 16. And we've lost a number one seed for the first time in this tournament. First game of the second round.
All right, let's talk about this incredible ride, part two for the Ramblers. Jordan Burnfield, play-by-play for NBC Sports Chicago, Loyola for the Ramblers on the Progressive Guest Line here on Pushing the Odds. Jordan, Matt Perrault, how are you?
Doing all right, Matt. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for the time. Okay, this is part two, round two. Compare this run to the magical run in 2018. Is it similar? Is it different? Was it expected this time? And then the win over Illinois, just how big was that for the Rambler program?
Yeah, so let's start with the comparison, Matt. And what I would say with comparison to the 2018 team, this is a little bit different. I think the reason is in 2018, you know, Loyola was ending at that time a 33-year drought of reaching the NCAA tournament. And so when they got into the dance, I think that the prevailing feeling was, this is just so exciting that we're here, right? I mean, they had a great team that year. Obviously, they showed that in reaching the Final Four, but that was also a team that had won three games on buzzer-beating shots, that had an incredibly just magical sort of narrative finish to get to the Final Four and almost took out Michigan to get to the national championship game. I mean, that was a great team, but it was also filled with a lot of that, you know, great narrative stuff that I think people love in the NCAA tournament. This year's team, you know, this has been a very good team really every year since that year. And as a result, I think that there was a little bit more expectation coming into this year. I mean, they knew with Cameron Krutwig as a senior this year, one of the best big men in the country, as evidenced by his third team All-American selection, that, you know, this was a team that if they got into the NCAA tournament was going to make some noise. And I think also the fact that the Missouri Valley got two teams in shows you that the strength of the league was better perhaps than it's been in the last 4 or 5 years. So getting in, they were underseeded, had to take out the ACC champion to get to this point, and then, you know, to beat the Big Ten champion in Illinois, not only because of the Big Ten champion, but just the two teams being in this state, Illinois being as powerful as it was going into this tournament with many people, including myself, feeling like they might be the best team in the country, and to dominate them wire to wire, really, the way that Loyola did yesterday. I mean, it's just seismic. Everyone in Chicago is talking about Loyola, I think, in a different way than they did 4 years ago. 4 years ago was, wow, this is so cool. This is a cute story. Sister Jean, all that stuff. And now it feels like people are looking at this team going, this Loyola team could go all the way.
I would agree. We'll talk more about the draw here in just 1 second and then going to the Sweet 16. I want to pull it back for a second because, you know, I started covering the Missouri Valley Conference back in 2004. And when the Creighton Blue Jays went to the Big East and then Wichita State wound up going to the American, there were, and I was one of them, a lot of people who were really concerned about what the conference was going to look like on the national stage going forward. What did Drake and the last two runs here for Illinois-Chicago, what has that done for the profile for the Missouri Valley? Because that was really the draw. The Chicago media market was the draw for Loyola when they were selected to come into the Valley. Just how big has this been from a conference standpoint for the runs in the tournament?
I mean, huge. And you know, Matt, from your years covering the Valley, this was a league that would often get three teams into the tournament, yeah, right, or four teams. And that wasn't even a big deal. That was just sort of expected back at that time. And so when Loyola entered the Missouri Valley Conference, at the time they were kind of, you know, down in the dumps as a program. They were not doing particularly well in the Horizon League. When I started calling Loyola games 10 years ago, when Porter Moser was hired, you know, in his first year, he was trying to build a team that could compete in the Horizon League. And then, you know, after a few years, as he started to get a team that was more competitive in that league, they moved into the Valley, which, you know, over the last 10, 12 years has been a better league. And so, you know, it took him about 5 years to get the program to a position where they could really compete in the Missouri Valley Conference. And, you know, when Loyola won the CBI, you know, this was back in 2015. It was finally a point where you felt like Porter was starting to get that program to be one that the Valley, you know, could look at eventually as one that might be able to compete. And then, you know, really since Loyola was able to go to the Final Four in 2018, Loyola has been one of the best teams in the Missouri Valley Conference ever since. They've won three of the last four regular season titles in the Valley. The year after the Final Four appearance, they went to the NIT because they lost in the Valley tournament. And now, obviously, this year they're back in the Sweet 16. So, you know, when you bring a team into your conference, you can only hope for the kind of success that Loyola has brought this league. But when Porter Moser was hired, really it was a great hire because Porter went to Creighton. He coached at Illinois State. He's been in the Valley for a long time, so he knew what it took to win in it, and now he's doing it.
No, I love him, and I've known him for years, and I was so happy for him when he got back into the Valley, given that I thought he got kind of a raw deal at Illinois State. And, you know, I thought picking the Chicago media market was such a brilliant move by Doug Elgin and company to say, okay, how are we going to survive? Well, we need bigger markets. We can't be in the Carbondales of the world. We got to be in the bigger markets if we can, and then grabbing hold of Chicago there. But you mentioned the market in Chicago. Everyone's talking about the win. I mean, just what's it like for if you're an Illinois fan today, for an Illini fan today, that this little team from, you know, a couple hours away from you just took you out of the tournament as a one seed?
Nightmare. That's what it is for Illinois, honestly, because, you know, listen, I have been covering Loyola doing their broadcast for 10 years, but full disclosure, most of my family, I did not, but most of my family went to Illinois. So I know what Illinois fans are saying today. And, you know, I think that for people that are Chicagoans that did not go to Illinois or Loyola, a lot of people love it, you know, that Loyola is winning because they're obviously an extremely likable team and a great story. But if you went to Illinois, I mean, listen, this is the best team that they've had since the 2005 team that went to the national championship. They were expecting a team that was going to the Final Four. I mean, that was really the expectation. And I kept telling friends and family when they got the bracket draw that they did that Illinois could certainly go to the Final Four, maybe even win the national championship. You might have argued going into the tournament after the way they played in the Big Ten tournament that they were the best team in the country. But I kept telling people getting Loyola as an 8 seed is a bad draw for them because Loyola was not an 8 seed. I mean, I think that the tournament committee has a very difficult job, and I'm not usually one of these people that's going to blast the committee, but Loyola was ranked 17th in the AP poll. They were top 10 in both the net and the KenPom. You tell me how this team was the 30th seed in the tournament. I mean, that's a joke, really. So Loyola and Illinois was a matchup that really got the fascination of people in this state yesterday, and I think around the country, for obvious reasons. But this should have been a game that got played maybe in the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16, which would have taken maybe a little of the sting out for Illinois. But to not make it through the first weekend and to lose to the Valley champion out of Chicago could not be worse for Illinois fans.
So what's the future? I know no one wants to talk about this, but this is just the nature of the beast here. Porter Moser is a really good coach. He's in a perfect spot. I know he's very happy. But what happens if a big boy comes calling? It's Chicago, so I'm guessing they've got some people there with bank accounts that could keep him around. But what's your feeling about Porter Moser staying next season and being the coach of the Ramblers next year?
Yeah, Matt. I mean, I get asked this question a lot, understandably, and I've known Porter for 10 years now. And what you just said is true. Porter is a Chicago area guy, and he loves Chicago. And when he says it, it's not just something he says to keep recruits. Like, he is Chicago through and through. He's a huge Cubs fan. I see him at Wrigley all the time. I know he's a huge Chicago sports fan all the way through. And so, like, it matters to him to be here. But the one caveat I would say is 3 years ago when he sort of burst onto the national scene with Loyola going to the Final Four, he did entertain some offers from some other programs. But, you know, the offers maybe weren't as great as they could be potentially now. Like, if he gets Loyola back to the Final Four, I think that the quality of the opening in terms of a job just gets greater and greater. And so I've always been of the belief that Porter Moser was not going to leave Loyola or Chicago unless there was a job offer that just blew him away. And I have a feeling that if he keeps doing this, that offer that could blow him away might exist, right? Like at the time before, you would have said, well, do you really want to leave Loyola for St. John's, let's say? And I think the answer obviously then was no. But I haven't specifically asked him about this, but I'd imagine if anyone gets approached to be the coach at, let's say, Indiana, you got to think about that, right? You got to think about that. So I don't think that he's the type of coach that wants to leave, but I think if the right offer comes up, it'd be hard not to at least consider it.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, what I hope for it is, like, when Dana Altman went to Arkansas, everybody, including myself, we were like, nope, this is a bad hire, it's a bad fit, wrong culture, what is Dana doing? But he'd been around for so long and had done so much with the Jays, he hit a ceiling. Now, I don't know if Porter Moser hit the ceiling yet, what he's done with Loyola. I mean, it's incredible. Dana never won more than one game in the tournament with the Creighton Blue Jays, so he wanted to go to a program where he could get a higher level of talent. It didn't work for a week in Arkansas. He goes back to Creighton, and then you get the Oregon job. And everybody, including myself, praised it. We're like, this is a perfect job, perfect hire. If he takes a job like Indiana, Rambler fans, I'm assuming, will be sad, but wouldn't most understand that it's Indiana?
I think they would, yes. I mean, listen, I think that when the unfortunate truth of being a mid-major team is that sometimes there are opportunities that are just, from a professional development standpoint, you can't get any higher than that. I mean, Porter has been coaching for a long time. He was a young head coach when he started, and he's 50. He could stay in Chicago, and he could, keep Loyola where it is and try to build them into that kind of Butler-Gonzaga sort of model on the mid-major level, where you build a team that can be a powerhouse in a mid-major conference and go to the dance every year, on not only on merit, but on reputation too, right? I mean, at some point, if Loyola's close, if they keep doing this, they're going to make the tournament just because of who they are, regardless of anything else. So you could be that, and you could be that for a long time, and he can be really successful, and he can, continue to live his life in the city that he loves and where he grew up and all that. But, it's hard to believe that anyone, no matter how much they love what they do and where they are, wouldn't consider, if you're offered an enormous job opportunity in the basketball coaching profession, right? I mean, people could say what they want about Indiana and where it is now versus where it used to be, but it's still Indiana, right? And I'm not saying that they're going to offer him that job, but I'm just saying there's a few jobs in the country where it's like, if you get offered that job, it's hard not to at least talk about it.
Agreed. Jordan, I got a minute left. Oregon State, the opponent, then potentially Houston in the regional final for the Ramblers. How do you feel about them winning the bracket, getting to the Final Four?
I mean, I think right now you got to feel pretty good about it. I know that the opening line is 7, or 7.5 maybe, I saw, for Loyola favored against Oregon State. I mean, here's why I think you can pick Loyola and feel good about it. And I thought this about them in 2018, but I think it might be even more true now because I think they might have a better team now than they did then. They don't change their style of play to fit the opponent. And sometimes you see mid-major teams really having to change what they do to try to match up with larger conference teams. Loyola has not done that in either of these two runs, and I don't expect that they're going to do that again. They're just tactically really, really smart, and they make really good adjustments, and they have very smart kids that can change defensive coverages multiple times a game, the way you saw them do that against Illinois. So I think that, Oregon State's a great story, from picked last in the Pac-12 to Pac-12 tournament champions. Obviously, no games are easy in the tournament, but I think that Loyola can match up well with them. If Houston, is the team, or it's Syracuse, I mean, whatever, whoever comes out of that, there's going to be some tough teams Obviously, Loyola would have to play. But the way this team is executing, the way they've played the last 2.5 months, there's not a lot of teams better than Loyola in the country right now, and I think we all saw that yesterday.
I totally agree, and the bracket is set up perfectly for them to get back to the Final Four, and if not there, further to the national championship game even, which could be really, really wild to see. Jordan, thank you for the time. I know you're super busy. Congrats to all the Rambler fans in Chicago. You guys are still dancing. Looking forward to the game coming up this weekend.
Thanks, Matt. My pleasure. Happy to do it.
That is Jordan Bernfield, voice of the Ramblers for NBC Sports Chicago, joining us here on Pushing the Odds. Good stuff with him on the Progressive Guest Line. Drivers with Progressive save on average $750 per year. Final hand next. We'll look at the Gonzaga OU game next.